Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, let's see, juggling a whole bunch of stuff here. First up, what do we, you'll have to bear with me here. I'm dealing with some technical difficulties. First up that we have for a Florida man. Florida man hides in a chest of drawers and uses a whiteboard to evade deputies. This is according to WESH Channel 2, Lakeland, Florida. A man tried to evade deputies through hiding in a dresser drawer. He was, the sheriff's office said on Saturday, deputies went looking for Johnny Yates at a home. They were greeted by a whiteboard message saying that Johnny Yates is not here. He does not live at this house. So this guy decided to make a sign and he put it on the outside of his home to try to trick the Florida deputies into not believing that he was there so they would leave. And then he hid in the dresser drawer. And in fact, Johnny Yates did live there. And he was at home. And they did arrest him. We have our third hour on the way. Stick with us. You know, Kel-Tec has always been about public safety and self-defense, and the Kel-Tec P15 is no exception. Whether you prefer the polymer or metal version, this reliable, compact, lightweight is the perfect go-to. The P15 polymer is the lightest, slimmest, double-stack concealed carry 9mm on the market at only 14 ounces unloaded, and loaded holds 15 plus one rounds. This little beauty has tritium and fiber optic front sight and fully adjustable fiber optic rear sights. You get all of the same great modern sights, great trigger, and excellent capacity in the P15 metal with a metal frame for a true vintage look and feel, and classic wood grips for a classic comfortable feel. Both have the same game-changing Kel-Tec innovation in quality, reliability, and performance. For public safety and self-defense, make the P15 your concealed carry go-to. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Kel-Tec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KeltecWeapons.com today. KeltecWeapons.com. I realized where it all went wrong. So last night, how many of you, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I was a 90s teen. I came of age in the 90s. And I remember when my mom would go get cigarettes at the 7-Eleven. There was a particular 7-Eleven. You used to be able to walk in and get cigarettes. Ken and I were talking about this for your parents or your grandma. And they had garbage pail kids. How many of y'all remember garbage pail kids? They were making fun of Cabbage Patch Kids, but baseball card style. Steve, are you on? And this is my favorite thing to do, is ask Steve if he's familiar with garbage pail kids. Because, you know, he's a millennial, and there's certain things that he just does, and I love it. Steve, you never had no garbage pail kids, did you?
I think that barely predates me, I think.
Okay.
I never
But you're, you heard of them, but you just never had
I'm
them.
Aware of what they are, but I never had one.
Gosh, they were like the things to have. They were the prison currency of the elementary school playground. Jolly Ranchers and Garbage Pail Kids. You could get anybody to get to do anything you wanted if you had some watermelon Jolly Ranchers and some Garbage Pail Kid cards. You know that. You could be a warlord on the playground with those two things. Playground Warlord. Band name, Playground Warlord. You could. So I was, you know, looking around. I found this 80s account on Instagram last night. I was trying to walk my mind back and make myself go to sleep. And then I flipped out because I didn't know that they followed me, and I thought that was really cool. But I saw this commercial for Garbage Pail Kids, and I watched it, and I somewhat facetiously wondered, is this where it all went wrong? I want you to listen to this. This is an actual report, a news report from back in the day. They went and they talked to the good people of Duncanville, King, about the Garbage Pail Kids. This is back in the 80s, guys. This is when you had Baby Dana and Baby Kane. Listen.
Uncle Sam with his finger up his nose.
Got the cards there.
They're called the Garbage Pail Kids, a parody on Cabbage Patch Dolls, but parents aren't laughing.
He's sitting there with a button in his lap ready to, or he does, he blows his head off, and when it comes off, it looks like the atomic bomb. It looks communistic.
I love this woman.
It looks like maybe someone is trying to break the American family.
The bubblegum and cards are made by a Pennsylvania company, but they're being sold locally at 7-Eleven stores and Toys R Us. Parents are banding together to get the product off store shelves.
The protest is being organized by parents of children who attend the Daybridge Learning Center in Duncanville. Parents who've put their concerns on paper in the form of a petition.
This is a petition that some of the parents have decided that we would like to circulate. To try to get the Garbage Patch
just
kids
wait.
Taken
you think
off
them
the
garbage,
market.
Just wait
they
until
depict violence
draw
and destruction
kids with strap-ons and they talk about oral sex in the elementary school library books. Just wait, ladies. Just wait, Duncanville mamas. Just give it like what, 20 years, 25 years? Just give it some time. Give it 30 years, probably. Give it some time. Just wait. If you thought Garbage Pail Kids were bad, wait until you hear about a little book called Gender Queer. Man. It's communistic. I mean, it's, you know, attacking them. I love this woman. But how much you bet she votes Democrat? I'm just saying. You know, she, that was like Al Gore. Remember him? Al Gore, the guy who had a tobacco farm. And he wanted some masseuse to release his chakra. So gross. The chakra, that apparently is, I am told that that is Burmese for a pervert dude asking you to do gross things. But is that where it went wrong, King? Is it us because with our DM Garbage Pail Kid cards?
Apparently.
I had so many of them.
Apparently. I wasn't even aware of those. Like I was telling you off the air. I had never seen a report like that about Garbage Pail Kids. We were like trading these at church.
Yeah, man. I had these at church. I had these at church camp.
Right. So it just kind of blew me away to see that news story. I had never seen that in the 80s in real time.
We were all busy getting lectured to by our moms about razors and candy. And satanic cults, remember that?
Right.
There's a devil cult down the street, and y'all kids better go through them bags of candy. There's gonna be razors in them bags of candy. That's what I remember my grandma telling my mom. Now you better go through her candy because you know them people been putting razors in that candy. And I'm like, who is them people? She's like, the Satanists. Like what? But it started with the maybe it was the Garbage Pail Kids. Is it us? Are we the baddies? I mean, did we do this? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was looking at this. They were, I remember the Tipper Gore era. They got real mad at, what's his face? Douchebag D. Snyder, right. Twisted Sister, who is so mad that everybody plays that We're Not Going to Take It song because he's a super far left dude. And he's so mad that people use that song like against his ideology. I think it's hysterical. ASCAP, wah, wah. But that's when Tipper Gore went at him and all those other bands. Like, oh, these are bad lyrics. They're going to corrupt our kids as much as your husband does or no. I just, you know, I'm wondering, asking for some friends. Anyway, I saw that last night. Yeah, Garbage Pail Kids, they had, I mean, it was the best. They had the best. I had so many of these cards. So many of them. My mom did not care what I watched. She didn't care what I read. She did not care. This woman did not care. And guess what? I'm not an axe murderer. I don't deal meth. I don't do none of that. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not a communist. So I feel like that was a pretty good, you know, pretty good thing. Yeah. But I mean, I had all those. Yeah. What is a Shaggy Aggie? Right. The chick with the Garbage Pail Kid with the hair under her armpits.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like half of the liberal actresses
that's
in Hollywood right now. I mean, that's like...
That's the pre-programming of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I will say this. The chicks were chicks and the dudes were dudes in Garbage Pail Kids, right? And there was nobody with strap-ons. There was nobody like talking about fellatio. There was none of that stuff that was happening in Garbage Pail Kids, okay? I mean, so what? There was a little violence. You know, it's all in good fun. Golly, I reject that we are the baddies because of that. I reject it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I'm not going to touch on some of the 2024 stuff because that's still too early, I think. And also, just like in the polls and that. But I will say this is very interesting. And I dare say that I did suspect this. Mm-hmm. A new poll shows that RFK Jr. is not actually taking support from Biden. He's actually taking support from Trump. He's an independent. It shows it actually spelling. This is from Mediaite and Marist, NPR and PBS. They show a 5-point drop amongst Democrats for Biden with Kennedy, but there's a plus 10 drop amongst Republicans who are for Trump that are picking RFK Jr. instead of Trump. I'm not saying that you should trust me when I say that this dude is sus. Everyone's like, he's going to pull support from Democrats. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are smoking Hunter's crack. That's not ever going to happen. So, and it was a pretty wide sample and it was only plus 2 left. Yeah, it was like well within the margin of error. So I'm just saying, guys, just saying. Alec Baldwin, and now looks like prosecutors are going to recharge him for shooting in front of everyone and killing his cinematographer because he's a D-bag that knows nothing about guns while he lectures everybody else. I mean, it's horrific, but now they're looking to recharge Alec Baldwin. He's been living his life. They said they're presenting the case prosecutors to the grand jury within the next 2 months. They said additional facts have come to light. I don't know what additional facts could come to light about a guy who the cameras were rolling when he literally squeezed the trigger and shot and killed a cinematographer. But OK, let's see. Fake airline reps are helping disgruntled passengers rebook flights in the latest bizarre and a new scam. Is it a scam if they're helping them? I mean, maybe these airlines should try to work with these, bring these hucksters on. This is a hard story to talk about. If you follow me on social media, you know that I put out a book or put out a video about this story that came out. I know there's like books about it. There's a film that's about it. All kinds of stuff. It is one of the scariest stories I think that's ever taken place in the United States. And it's the story of the biggest, most prolific serial killer, Kermit Gosnell. And this does not matter what you think about abortion going into this. It does not matter because what this man did and what he was allowed to do, what he was given awards for doing, and that it went on for so many years is truly astounding. Now, you might be familiar with the Gosnell movie. It was the most, I think, successful crowdfunded movie that was ever done on Indiegogo. It raised, I think, what, in just like under 45 days, $2.3 million. And it was the brainchild of Anne McElhenney and Fela McClear, who have done such an amazing job at telling the stories that nobody wants to report on, that the media would prefer to hide, that they want to erase from America's psyche, that they want to act like they don't exist. And they do this. I love the name of this. It's the Underreported Story Society, which we'll talk about. Unreported Story Society. This story about Kermit Gosnell, there is an exhibit that is opening. And it's opening in Columbus, Ohio. In Ohio, where voters are about to determine whether or not they are going to allow taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. Well, it's abortion on demand is birth control all the way up until the moment of birth. Taxpayer-funded, that's a whole other issue of that's being debated. But all the way up until the moment of birth, late term, which is exactly what Kermit Gosnell specialized in. When they raided his clinic, they found 47 bodies, infant bodies, stored in kitty litter jars, stored in freezers and bags in the refrigerators. I mean, this is real. This happened. And there are crime scene photos that have never been shown publicly. They were shown in court. And this is all part of this exhibit that is opening. It's called Evidence: The Shocking Crime Scene Photos That Put a Killer in Prison. America's Biggest Serial Killer, Anne McElhenney, who created this. And she's launching this exhibition to tell this story right when voters here November 7th in Ohio are getting ready to make this monumental decision. She joins me now via Skype. And you always do such hard work. You do such hard work on some of the most difficult stories that are out there. So kudos to you for doing this, because this is a hard one. This is really hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. And thank you so much for amplifying this. We're so grateful to you, Dana. And you've been there with us telling the story from the very, very beginning. I'm so, so grateful to you. And it's very, very tough. And it's, you know, I sometimes wonder, like, why is it, you know, as I said, the 501c3 we have is called the Unreported Story Society. Why is this story not being told by journalists? People in Ohio are going to be making, they're going to be making a very, very monumental decision. They're going to change their constitution. They're going to potentially allow abortion up to 9 months in their constitution. Shouldn't journalists be telling them everything that they need to know in order to make an informed decision. I mean, that's what journalists should be doing. And I think that's part of what we're doing. We're telling through these photographs, particularly the very graphic photographs of the babies, which, by the way, just to tell your viewers, will be behind little black curtains. People can decide whether or not to look at those photographs. But they tell a picture, they tell a story that can be told most powerfully through pictures, which is, this is what you're voting to make legal. This is what it looks like, what you're voting to make legal. And I think we all deserve to know that. Why can't we talk about that? Why can't we have photographs? Why won't journalists tell that part of the story?
Yes, that's a great point. And you can go to evidencetheexhibition.com to learn more about this. And you can also reserve your spot. It opens October 20th in Columbus, Ohio. And you might remember, for those of you watching, the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, Anne and Phelan were also behind My Son Hunter. They've done some amazing work telling these stories. And they were there from the very beginning. You were in the courtroom when this trial kicked off. And this had a profound effect on you. I mean, it changed the way that you not only viewed this issue, but also really sharpened your perception on how American media deals with these types of issues. When you walked into the courtroom before this all started, tell us how you shifted, how your perception changed from day one to now.
It's interesting. Thank you so much for asking that question. I mean, I wrote a book about this, a New York Times bestseller.
Yes,
and in the preface, I described myself, and I remember myself. I know who I was prior to this story, and I remember who I was when I was in university and the person that I was. And I had a whole thing about photographs, by the way, and I thought that pro-lifers using photographs, I was convinced that they were photoshopped, that they'd been interfered with. Of course, these photographs come from a court case, so they were completely unimpeachable. But I went into that courthouse. I will be honest with you. I was what they call neutral on abortion. So for your viewers, and they're very informed, there is no such thing as neutrality on abortion. You're either for abortion or you're against abortion. So in that context, I was for abortion. The thing that stopped me and Phelan in our tracks and that made all these years of all this work happen was one piece of testimony. In order for the jury to make a decision on the guilt of this man, they needed to be educated and they needed to find out what was legal and what was murder. And in order to do that, they had a legal abortion doctor who was on the stand, asked to describe what a legal abortion was. And the jury gasped. They made a noise. They audibly gasped. They gasped twice. The first time when the legal abortion doctor was asked, by way of explaining their expertise, you know, in your career, how many abortions have you performed? And the answer was 40,000. And the jury gasped. And it kind of gives your viewers and me, it gave me an education that this is industrial. This is an industrial thing. This is like a factory. This is huge. And this is one doctor. 40,000. And this was not an old lady, by the way. This was not an old lady. This was a young enough person. She went on, though, to describe what she did when she did it right. And we heard that testimony and we're like, okay, whatever we do, we're going to get that testimony out to the world. And we did that in the movie. And we had that very much.
It was powerful.
You know, that was like the central. It's a very powerful thing. And I think I've always felt, Dana, that this part, I mean, you know, as we did the investigation and spoke to, you know, the cops and the FBI and CSI guys, we did get access to these photographs, the discovery, all of them from, you know, what they photographed when they walked into the clinic, you know, and those photographs are quite palatable, by the way. So when you walk into the exhibition, you see these photographs of the procedure rooms. However, those procedure rooms have cats in them. And you see bloodstained furniture and things like that. But at the back of the exhibition, as I said, we have it closed off and people will make a decision. I saw the photographs of the 47 babies that were recovered. And it's really interesting. I mean, this is a small anecdote. Just last week, Balaam and I went to see a very dear friend of ours who's just had a baby. And the baby's 3.5 weeks old, a little girl. And she was just, you know, doing what babies do. And she had her finger up like this. And you're a mom. You know what babies do. And her finger was just up like this. And Phelan and I just immediately looked at each other. It was really weird, Dana, because one of the babies is in that exact pose and has his finger up like that, almost in admonition. And I can tell you, he has haunted me. And I think he should be allowed to speak and tell people in Ohio, in Columbus, this is what it looks like. This is what you're voting for. And maybe you're good with that, but let's know what you are voting for. And this is what it's like. And don't allow Planned Parenthood and their spokespeople to tell you that late-term abortion is unusual and very, very rare and only in extraordinary circumstances. That's not true. And I can tell you how I know that's not true. Warren Hearn, who runs a late-term abortion clinic in Boulder, Ohio, in Boulder, Colorado, I should say, himself said that late-term abortions are done for the very, very same reasons as early-term abortions. The very, very same reasons. And when they say, oh, there's very rare, very, very few, according to the Guttmacher Institute, who are the experts and who are very, very pro-abortion, according to their numbers, and by the way, those numbers are very, very conservative because no one, these abortion clinics are not required. They are not required to report the number of abortions they're doing. According to Guttmacher, there are 10,000 late-term abortions in America every year. And there'll be more if Ohio decides to vote for this. And this is why we've decided to do this exhibition. And by the way, our plan is to bring this to your town, to bring this all over the country, because this is a story that journalists are unwilling to tell, and we will tell it.
We're talking with Anne McElhinney. Evidence, the exhibition is this. I mean, this is, it's telling the story of Kermit Gosnell, America's biggest serial killer. And I am so grateful for, and I celebrate how honest you are about this, because for people what you said, how you went into this, and you were, you know, you talked about neutrality, but you were for abortion, but you had an open mind, and you went into this and you saw the evidence, the unassailable evidence, these unimpeachable photographs that came from this courtroom, and the story and the facts and the science convinced you to the position that you hold now. And there are a lot of people, as you said, they don't exactly know what this means. Everything is discussed in very vague, very generic terms when we talk about late-term abortion. But this is true. And the way that this was done, and this is the other aspect of this story that's terrifying, and you covered this so well. You and Phelan both covered this so well. This man received awards. He received awards even as there were cats running all over his clinic. He received awards even as they were storing babies in just jars. I mean, he got awards from the community. They celebrated him, Anne.
Yeah, oh no, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, there's so much about this story that's dreadful and that's so newsworthy. I mean, one of the worst parts about it as well is the fact that for 17 years, and this is something else that Ohio needs to take account of, and every other state in the states that will be having these ballot measures, there's a whole bunch more of them in 2024, is that this guy, during 17 years, two women died. Samika Shaw, a young African-American mother, died. Karnamaya Monger, a Bhutanese refugee who was in America for 4 months before she died at the hands of Gosnell. The bureaucrats getting paid a ton of money in the Department of Health in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, did not get off their chairs to investigate those deaths. And this is in progressive Pennsylvania, a highly developed state. The Department of State, the Department of Health, they got countless complaints, some of them handwritten, some of them hand delivered by doctors. 17 years they did not inspect the clinic. This is what Ohio may well be welcoming in, because if it can happen in Pennsylvania, it can happen anywhere. And the idea, by the way, this is something that really strikes me as a very logical point. If Kermit Gosnell could do this in progressive Pennsylvania, progressive Philadelphia, why would anyone for a second think that this is not happening in California, Illinois, in New Mexico, New York, New Jersey? Why would you think that? Why would you think that the Department of Health in New York are different? What would be the basis for that judgment? If this can happen in Pennsylvania, it can happen anywhere. And it could happen in Ohio. And people need to decide if that's what they're voting for.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of listeners in Ohio. And I hope that they are. I hope that they're listening now. I hope they're watching the simulcast. And I hope they go. They need to go just to be informed. I mean, I challenge people to educate themselves on this. EvidenceTheExhibition.com. The Eventbrite link is up there as well. People can reserve their spot for opening on October 20th. And you're also going to be taking this to other states. This is just the first. You're going to be going across the country.
Yes. And we will have, by the way, Pastor Brian Williams will be opening the exhibition on Friday. And he is wonderful. And I don't know if you've seen him quoted. He's been quite out there explaining, for example, bizarrely that, you know, there's seven, I think the black population in Ohio is 17% of the population. However, the abortion population, the abortion numbers are 45% black in Ohio. So this is, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Do they? Do they, you know, because somehow it looks to me like black lives are being targeted here by the abortion industry.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Ann McElhinney, if this was a just world, you'd be receiving Pulitzer Prizes for the work that you and Phelan do. You really would. You really would, because nobody's telling these stories. Nobody's doing this work. And it's not just, you know, on behalf of the innocent and the women who've lost their lives in this clinic, but it's also to educate voters. I mean, voters need to have this information before they go and they give the authority of their consent. Ann McElhinney, the website is evidenceTheExhibition.com. And of course, I'm going to have you back to talk about the Unreported Story Society another time, but we've got to talk about that. UnreportedStorySociety.com as well. And I will send out a newsletter to all the subscribers with all of this information in it, too. God bless you, Anne, for what you and
thank
do. Please,
you so much.
Please give Phelan our best. And I really wish I could be there with you in Ohio, but I will see you at some point on this tour. I will be there.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Bye-bye. Thank you. Good to see you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.